This Breakfast with Ben's podcast on the Fans First Network, brought to you by Gerger Construction. It's not too soon to start planning your dream deck. They build decks year-round, and they're booking into spring and summer 2024. Gerger Construction is a small burg business specializing in decks, pergolas, railings, and fencing, fully insured, licensed, and now offering financing options. Go to gergerconstruction.com to get your free project estimate or to schedule your deck safety inspection today. It's a Madden Monday podcast here on Trib Live. Tim Benz with you, courtesy of the Fans First Network and Gerger Construction, a small burg-based business specializing in decks, pergolas, railings, and fencing. Fully insured, licensed, and now offering financing options. Go to gergerconstruction.com to get your free project estimate or to schedule your deck safety inspection today. They're booking into summer 2024. Mark Madden with us from 105.9 The X and Trib Live. You can check him out 3 until 6, Monday through Friday on The X. Mark, the 2024 NFL draft is over. What did you think of how the Steelers approached things and their process through it?
Well, I think they did a good job. I mean, they got two offensive linemen who should come right in and start, unless they stick to their dumb tradition of having to blood rookies in slowly like they did last year with Broderick Jones. But to my mind, Frazier and Fatanu should start right away. And if they do that, they have a good offensive line. If they do that, they can run the ball. But despite, you know, the gains I think they made in the draft, I don't think they're a team that's going to win any more games. I think you need a better quarterback to do that. I think you need a better receiving core to do that. I think what they are now is equipped to play football like they prefer to and like you could win within the 70s. You know, pound the ball on the ground and play good defense. Now, I think they'll beat bad teams usually playing that way, but you're going to beat Joe Burrow? You're going to beat Josh Allen? You're going to win a playoff game? I don't think so. I think they improved their team, but given the fact that their schedule is a lot better this coming year, a lot tougher teams on it, I think they probably don't win any more games.
What's the smarter course of action, do you think, to put the tackles out there with Fautanu and Broderick Jones? Which one do you see thriving better at which position?
I don't know. That's a tough one because Fautanu played left tackle at Washington, correct?
Yes, with a left-handed quarterback. So I could see him moving to right tackle with Wilson and Fields and still doing a lot of the same things.
I guess so, but it's still a different position. I mean, it would probably be more continuity to leave Jones at right and Fautanu at left. But I think that Jones is considered the better of the two, even though both are first-round picks. So my tendency would be to put Fautanu at right and Jones on the left. Then again, Tim, there's some who say Fautanu is a bit too small to play tackle and would be more likely to play guard, but I don't think that's going to happen his first year. I think that would be a fallback if he doesn't play satisfactorily at tackle.
Agreed. And honestly, I don't care if he's a little shorter than the average tackle, and I don't care about that with Frazier, too. I looked at Dane Brugler's draft guide in The Athletic, and Frazier was the shortest of the top 15 centers available. But you know what? Russell Wilson's under 6 feet tall. That might actually help a little bit.
Yeah, I would prefer to get away from preconceived notions and bring in guys who can play football.
Right.
And Fautanu and Frazier fit the bill.
To your point about the guard situation with Fautanu potentially flipping there, I could see that. You know, one pick that I didn't like was Mason McCormick, the fourth rounder, when they tripled down on the offensive line. But that didn't strike me as a move so much made for this year as it was next year when Herbig and Daniels are both free agents. And who knows, Mark, maybe they feel more comfortable cutting Herbig and saving $4 million, and that could help in the cap if they try to still make a trade for a wide receiver.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I don't think they necessarily got great steals after the second round, though. Every team thinks they got sleepers. Every team thinks they got steals. I think what the Steelers got are like, you know, third, fourth, fifth round draft picks. Just, you know, the guys who are par for that course. The guy from Michigan, the receiver, is going to be the new Hines Ward. We keep hearing crap like that. But I think the major gain, the most likely gains at all, were made in the first two picks.
Yeah, I don't care so much about the Hines Ward projections for Wilson. He is good in the red zone for not being very big at all. He's very good in the red zone.
Well, yeah, but Tim, he's at best, he's a number three receiver.
Exactly. If you got
they
him
still,
as a
rookie. Still lack it, too.
Yeah, precisely. If you got him as a good rookie slot, I'd say, hey, nice pick, but they can't possibly be thinking of him as their number two receiver. He's their number three at best.
Yeah, and especially right away.
They still should pursue Sutton, I would think. And I think there's a place for the other Wilson, the Peyton Wilson linebacker from NC State. I just don't know if he's going to stay healthy long enough.
Yeah, that struck me as an odd pick from that standpoint, didn't it?
Because of the injury history specifically, or just taking an inside linebacker there? No,
the inside linebacker part, I get the injury history specifically.
Yeah, it's a risk, that's for sure. But, I mean, he kind of plays it almost like a big safety, and that could free up Queen to do some things and
then
let them
again,
play nickel.
You have that a bit with Frazier, too, Tim, with a broken leg.
Yes, and Fautanu's had some injury concerns, too, although I'm starting to wonder if the Steelers started the injury concerns and floated that out there so he'd fall.
Yeah, but Fautanu, we shouldn't forget him, is the tribal chief. Acknowledge him. That's the bloodline, Tim, and they had a great first round.
I do like the Fautanu pick. I know some wanted to see him go center with Barton, but you know, I'll give Omar Khan credit for this. For a guy who has a tendency, it seems like, to really want to try to prove himself and how aggressive he is, he waited on some things and didn't sacrifice any picks to move up. I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah, he laid back. I think he got the best possible tackle-center combination he could have gotten the first two rounds.
But they do have to get aggressive at some point and get somebody's wide receiver, even if they got to give up a few extra picks next year.
No, Tim, what they really need to do is go 5-12 and get a real quarterback.
Well, there's that too, yeah.
But they're just not ever going to do that, and that's what people don't understand. People act like this draft is really changing the franchise. One of the B-team guys said we'd talk about this draft for decades. No, we won't, because we've got to tackle the center. Okay, the way you change a team is to get a quarterback. And I still go back to 2019, not to beat this dead horse again and again, but when Ben got hurt, they should have tanked, gone 5-12, maybe a draft Justin Herbert. Instead, they traded for Minka, gave up a first-round pick, scratched and clawed 8-8, proved nothing in the short run, hurt themselves in the long run.
The defense, kind of to your point about them needing to score points to outscore people as opposed to trying to do it the old-fashioned way, you know, they did what they needed to do to bolster the offense, but, you know, the defense, especially if Cam Hayward doesn't come back healthy, Mark, boy, Patrick Queen better be the real shot in the arm that I think he is, because they need that. They need that improved playmaker at that level of the defense.
Yeah, no question, but I think he will be. I feel pretty good about that, actually. The drama that dares not speak its name, Tim, is they need to cut Cam Hayward's contract. They need to give him a lot less money. But he has supposedly said, and kind of intimated in more veiled terms, that he will not take a pay cut. What do they do then?
Oh, they're going to pay him.
Well, they'll pay him what they owe him, even though it'll be counterproductive to the team. It would be better to cut him, Cam Hayward, than to pay him what he's owed currently under the cap, but they're a soft organization.
Yeah, I mean, even going back to Ben, I mean, there were some in the building that didn't want to bring Ben back for 2021. Right. I'm sorry, 2021. But they did it.
But they're a soft organization, Tim. They're not going to cut Cam Hayward.
What'd you think of the Penix thing, league-wide?
I loved it.
It was funny. The drama surrounding it was funny. The clip of Fontenot, the GM, trying to explain it to his owner, Arthur Blank, is one of the funnier things I've seen.
Well, I'm going to say on the show tomorrow, everybody thinks they had a good draft, the fans, except Atlanta. They like, and Kirk Cousins was mad, but like, hasn't Kirk Cousins, I don't have the figure in front of me, Tim, but he's already made like $300 million, right?
Yeah. Did you hear the promo that Stephen A. Smith cut on him over fans?
Yeah, that was a little, I did. It was a little overwrought, but the message is correct. Kirk Cousins has no right to be mad about anything. He's made $300 million and had one playoff win. That's a bad pick for the club. Okay. They have a quarterback that they signed presumably to be better now. And they should have got a moving part to fit in to help win now. Instead, you got the quarterback in the future. How far in the future? And then you got, well, Bo Nix goes to Denver. Look at their quarterback, Stidham, Bo Nix, and Zach Wilson. Dude, Jeebus. And like, Bo Nix looks like Scott Bakula's character in Necessary Roughness. I mean, that's just, those two picks, the Penix pick and the Bo Nix pick, just gong show picks.
Well, yeah, and that's why Cortland Sutton should want to get the hell out of there. And Like Russell Wilson might be a comfort blanket for him by comparison.
By comparison, yeah. I mean, see, I just have doubts about Russell Wilson. I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to be an upgrade over Kenny Pickett. It goes to show you, Tim, how important big picks are, first-round picks. If Kenny Pickett had been a hit, they would be ready to win a Super Bowl right now. If Pickett had been what they thought he should be, they'd be ready to win a Super Bowl.
Can Pittsburgh handle a draft like Detroit did physically, the city I'm talking about, in 2 years?
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think they're going to get it?
No, why would they have it here? Why would you bring it here? It's, the 25th market. I don't think they have the easy staging for it, do you? Like, I heard they would have different spots all around the city to watch it. Like, that's dumb. You know, you need to have in one place, like Detroit, with 250,000 people. That's an impressive sight. The league is about impressive sights for events like that. So Pittsburgh ain't going to get it. And if they did get it, I think it would look small time by comparison.
I just want to see if they can get the airport renovations done by then, because apparently the NFL is mandating that, or they've promised that to the NFL, I should say. And I don't know how that's going to happen, honestly.
Yeah, to get the airport like totally 100% done in 2 years, the renovation, I don't see it.
Yeah, they're going to run into overruns and issues there, I'm sure, like everything else. Mark, what about the NHL playoffs? Are you keeping tabs on that, even without the Penguins in it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching right now as we tape this, the Rangers in Washington. I love the Vancouver comeback today. Two goals with the goalie out to make a 3-1 deficit, a 3-3 tie, and then they win it in overtime. That's incredible. And with their third goalie in, Casey DeSmith once again getting a chance to play in the playoffs, and he gets hurt.
Again, yeah. I think we've all seen this fish before, haven't we?
The leg is a hell of a long way from the heart, as I heard it said, Tim.
JT Miller had 3 assists in that comeback, didn't he?
But I'm not sure if his leg's even hurt. I'm not sure what's hurt. I just know Herb said that to McClanahan, except I'm not even totally sure Herb said that at all.
But it did make for a great line in the movie.
Yeah, Kurt Russell said it. I know that. Didn't Kurt Russell call him a candy ass, too?
Yeah, that candy ass made it onto a Disney film. I was kind of impressed by that.
Well, Herb did use the word candy ass, so I can vouch for that.
JT Miller played well in that one, Mark. 3 assists.
Yeah, he's the real. I mean, he's a really good player.
What's Trocheck been doing in the playoffs? I haven't kept – he had one
Burning
big goal.
Burning it up, Tim. Forecheck, backcheck, Trocheck.
Oh, he's scoring this one, too. At the time we're taping, he currently does have one goal at least.
Yeah, and let me tell you, if they had signed him instead of Malkin, they would be in the playoffs the last 2 years. Just based on his influence on faceoffs and the power play. Just based on that alone.
Did you see they changed the coaching staff in Wilkes-Barre, the Penguins?
Yeah, but don't you think that's just them wanting to get their own guys in there?
Meaning Dubas and Spezza specifically? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I mean, they should, right?
I mean, after all, Mark, it's not like – I think everybody would agree that it's not like those guys were given ace-level talent or anything to try to cultivate, you know? Like, what were they supposed to work with?
Yeah, but you still want your own guys in there, period. I mean, seriously, if they had won the Calder Cup this year, I still want my own guys in there.
Especially in that job, in that role, to kind of do the bidding of the big club. I get what you're saying.
Well, you know who the next Penguins coach is going to be, don't you?
What's his name from Toronto?
Sheldon Keefe. Yeah. When they get rid of him, Keefe will wait it out, or maybe they'll make the change right away. I don't know. I think Keefe's a good coach, by the way.
Yeah, I think he's all right. You know, Toronto has its problems that go beyond just the coach and the GM. Like, I mean, there's
losing is in their DNA.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Yes, exactly.
You know, and then they're fighting on the bench. And they like talk now, well, to get rid of Marner because he's the soft one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Marner's a great playmaking wing. If you got rid of him, Matthews' production would go down. They have big picture problems, not one guy problems.
Yes, team construction matters there.
Now, the one thing I will say about that situation to kind of, you know, counteract the problems they're having, it is hilarious. I mean, the fact that they just can't do anything in the playoffs.
Mark, I guess Jared Jones may not win the Cy Young after all, huh?
Oh, what happened? I don't know. I mean, I was deck hockeying all weekend and roller hockey.
Well, they lost 3-1 and he got knocked around pretty well. Finally, you know, all the swing and miss stuff, the Giants kind of figured out and swung and hit plenty.
He's not going to pitch great every game either. I mean, I still think he's a talent. But like, that's one thing about the Pirates. It's so easy to catch up. You know the kind of direction they're, like, how many games are they under 500 now, Tim?
They are 14-15 going into Oakland to play the A's.
See, because my prediction is as soon as they get three games under 500 on the year, they will never be over 500 again.
I heard you say that. Is there like a stat or a number that you're assigning to that, or is it just a hunch that it's three games?
No, I'm just yanking that out my backside, Tim, but I have every faith that'll happen.
I just want to see them go to Oakland, have that Mason Miller kid from Bethel Park save all three games in the A's suite.
Yeah, he like throws a billion miles an hour, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's like Jared Jones, just a closer, and he's been quite good.
Yeah, how about they're ahead of Houston in the standings?
What are they now? They are, well, they're 12-17. Jeez, they're
no good.
Well,
they're supposed to go to Sacramento next year, right?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And then play in Vegas when the park gets done. But when's the park? I mean, I find it hard to believe they can't get the park done sooner than they're projecting. Is the funding in place? What's going on there? Because don't forget, they shut down a place where I like to play blackjack to build a stadium.
Where was that?
Tropicana.
Oh, that's right. The stadium was supposed to go where the Tropicana was. Yeah,
the last time I was there, not to be fair, I haven't been there for a couple trips. I never stayed there, but I played blackjack there because they had 3-2 payoff for blackjack, which not many tables on the strip have anymore. But maybe they didn't anymore. Now I have to walk a block away to go to the Hooters Casino. Well, now it's the Oyo, but there's a Hooters there, and that's big.
Mark, you got Motley Crue coming up this weekend, right?
Yes. Well, it's Friday and Saturday at the Hard Rock in Atlantic City, and my buddy Fred Kowalo, local musician and longtime guitar tech for Zakk Wylde in Black Label and with Ozzy, is now the bass tech for Nikki Sixx, has been for a few years now.
Did you hear the new song?
Yeah, it's great. I think Motley sounds the same generally because Sixx has always been the songwriter, right?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the production on the song Dogs of War, reminds me of the production and hence the songs on that one real good album they did for the comeback, Saints of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's a compliment.
How was the deck hockey tournament, Mark?
Well, we had 19 deck, 19 roller, Tim. It was long, but it was good. I mean, I should give shout-outs. Actually, one kind of good story. The upper division was won by a under-20 team from Cranberry, PA. They're real good. And then the lower adult division was won by an under-16 team. I let like elite like under-16 teams play in the adult divisions,
uh-huh.
But they've never won before. This team won.
Oh, I bet the adults were thrilled about that.
Well, you know, it was a bad matchup. The two semifinals were that was Team Pitt Outlaws, the cadet, the 15 and under team, under 16 team, right?
Mm-hmm.
They played an under 20 team from Bill's Deck Hockey in Belle Vernon, and that was a really good game. But then the other semifinal was two teams where the average age is like 36. And then that game went to overtime.
Uh-huh.
And these poor old bastards, and they've won the tournament before. Sylvester's Cleaning from like out of New Kent. They won the tournament before. They had to go in to play these kids after having played overtime.
So they got run ragged.
Well, no, they hung in there. It was a game like 3-1, I think. Maybe an empty net at the end. I forget. But, you know, and then Roller, a team, Man's Plumbing, won. I think they're from up in Cranberry, Wexford, like that. And then a team called the Swamp Donkeys won, the Lower Roller. I think they were Slippery Rock's collegiate team in Incognito.
Most importantly, Mark, did all of the goalies battle?
Some more than others, Tim. it was good. I run the three tournaments here, and it enables me to be around it just enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was good. And this is lower, more recreational division. But you're right, though. Like the adults, like they're like, oh man, we lost to 16-year-olds. You know what I mean? But what are you going to do? I mean, it's like one thing I'll say. Those kids they gave no quarter, but they asked none, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always hate, and the parents even, because the parents can be a pain in the ass in a situation like that. But, like, the parents weren't yelling, these are little kids, you know what I mean? They just let the kids play, and the kids just played.
Wish that would happen more often. Mark Madden, check him out 3-6 Monday through Friday.
Yeah, I wish the parents wouldn't show up at all.
That would make things a hell of a lot easier for everybody in a lot of sports, that's for sure. Mark's on 3-6. Check him out on the X and check us out. Madden Ben's Unfiltered. That's at 9:30 a.m. on Monday morning on the Facebook stream for Trib Live. This is the Madden Monday podcast, and it's brought to you by Gerger Construction on the Fans First Network.